Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, I believe this is where the Lord would have us to be for tonight. I'll read much of this chapter as we go through the message, but I'd like to read verse number 16, or verse number 15, 16, and 17 in the onset of the message tonight. Thank you for being here. The Bible said in verse 15 of John chapter 13, "For I have given you an example." How many believes you can't get a better example than Jesus? He's the perfect example. Amen. But let me just say this. A lot of people are teaching that we're saved by following his example. That's just not so. You see, sinners can't follow his example. He wasn't a sinner. He was the Savior. He was perfect. He was a perfect example. Now, after we get saved, we ought to try to follow his example. Amen. We certainly should. We'll fall short at times, but we ought to follow his example. Jesus said, "I've given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you," or done to you. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him." What humility for deity to say what was said in that verse. Amen. He's given us an example in way more than one way in this chapter. Amen. The Bible said he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then he said in verse 17, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you happy? Are you happy? There used to be a phrase that was used a lot around the church. They'd say, "So-and-so got happy." Ain't that right? Boy, so-and-so got happy. Amen. Well, I want you to know tonight, whether it's manifested or not, once in a while it will be to the outside. God wants us to be a happy people. God's people ought to be the happiest people on the face of the planet. And I'm going to show you some things tonight, with God helping me, won't be before you long. Just a few things here tonight that I believe will really help in this area of our life. Everybody's struggling with something. Amen? All of us are struggling with the flesh. Somebody help me. Boy, I tell you what, reckoning that flesh dead indeed unto sin is a lot easier said than done. Amen? Everybody's struggling with something. But God wants his people to be a happy people. And I want to give you three things tonight in this chapter that I pray will help us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for each one that's come. Thank you for this chapter that lies in front of us tonight. God, there's a wealth of material here. And God, I know tonight that, Lord, there are times, Lord, in our lives when we seemingly are unhappy. God, you desired it for your disciples. You desired that they'd be happy. And God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us tonight to understand and to realize, Lord, that you want to bless your people. God, I pray tonight for that one that's not saved, that one, Lord, as Dustin testified, that doesn't know what it is to love. And Lord, God is love. And when God comes into our heart, Lord, through the Savior of the world, through the Spirit of God, Lord, he helps us, Lord, to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life, love and joy and peace, long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and faith and temperance. Lord, you said against such there is no law. I pray, Father, tonight that you'll bless your word as it goes forth. Bless your servant, our Father, because, Lord, if we're going to be a blessing, we know that we must, Lord, depend on you to bless and help us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to give you three things tonight. They're simple things that the Lord spoke to my heart about in the chapter. I believe God's people, he said, "Happy are ye." Happy are ye. What a phrase. And I believe God's people ought to be happy. Now, I want you to listen carefully. I don't always speak real plainly. So I want you to listen carefully to the first thing I'm going to give you. We need to know that he knows. Listen to me carefully. I didn't say know what he knows. That's not here. We'll know what he knows when we get there. But down here, we'll never know what he knows. But we can be happy knowing that he knows. This will help you tonight. Listen to me carefully tonight. Some of our families are facing things. And it just helps to know tonight that even though Pastor doesn't know, my Savior knows. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at it with me in the scripture. The Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 13, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. Let me just say this to you tonight. The disciples didn't know that his hour was come. But he knew that his hour was come. And I just want to say tonight, listen, as I go through this text tonight, the Lord help us to understand and just be happy knowing that even though we don't know, he knows. We need to know that he knows. Amen. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future in his hand. I don't know if my future's long. I don't know if it's short. I don't know if it's bright as far as this world goes. You say, preacher, why would you say such a thing? I'm going to tell you some of the things Paul described in his life. They weren't bright days as far as the world goes. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. Another word for that is trouble. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be happy in knowing that I know. Amen. Watch this now. Knowing that he knows. Look at verse number 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he was come from God and went to God. You see, the disciples didn't understand. They had been told over and over and over, but Jesus knew that God had given it all over into his hands. Amen. And Jesus knew. And knowing that he knows will make a happy people. Look at verse number 7. The word of God said, Jesus answered and said unto them, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Listen, they didn't know what was going on in that upper room. They didn't know what was going on at this Passover meal. But Jesus said, you don't understand it now. You don't know it now, but there's a day coming. I say hallelujah. There's a lot of things I don't understand now. I don't know now, but there's a day coming when he'll let us know. Amen. Some of the godliest people I've ever known in this world have suffered the most. And I don't understand that. I tell you, I can go through life happy just knowing that he knows. Say amen. He makes no mistake. Beloved, it's his children. Amen. And God has a path for each one of his children to take. Beloved, I don't have to understand it to know that he knows. Watch this now. In verse number 11, the word of God said, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, you're not all clean. They didn't know, Brother Rose. They didn't know it was Judas. Even down there when he dipped the sop, they still didn't understand. They didn't know. But Jesus knew. Amen. The Bible said he knew from the beginning. Hallelujah. You can get happy right there. He doesn't just know the end. He knows it from the beginning. Amen. All the way to the end. Someone said one time, and I'll never forget this illustration, said life is like a parade. You and I stand on the street corner and we see it one float at a time. And there's some difficult floats in life, amen, that go by. Some difficult circumstances. But God is in heaven, Brother Larry. He sees the beginning. He sees the end. And he sees every float in between, amen. God knows tonight. What a blessing that is. Happy are ye knowing that he knows. That's a blessing. Now watch this. Look at verse 28. The Bible said, now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. No man knew, but the God of heaven knew. The Lord Jesus Christ knew. He knew what was going on in this room. And he said, happy are ye. We ought to be happy tonight. I'm going to get into something here in just a minute. I might as well just dive in here probably pretty quick. We ought to be happy tonight, just knowing that he knows. You know, Brother Brian touched on Joseph this morning. I wonder if maybe that didn't pass through Joseph's mind when he was in the pit. Lord, you know. Wonder if that didn't pass through his mind when he was in the prison, falsely accused. Lord, you know. I wonder if it didn't pass through his mind when his brethren, when he hadn't revealed himself to his brethren, he'd go back behind the curtain, so to speak, and weep, longing to see his father, longing to see Benjamin. I wonder if he wasn't saying, Lord, you know. Have you ever got to a place where you say, Lord, you know my heart? Yes, he does. He knows the heart. There are times when you and I, the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Well, at times we don't know it, but he always knows our heart tonight. Lord, you know. And tonight, it'll help you in life if you'll just understand and know. Somebody says, well, nobody knows what I'm going through. You're wrong. It doesn't matter what the trial, what the tribulation, what the situation is. You say, preacher, nobody knows. Oh, yes, there's somebody that knows. By the way, let me give you this. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Somebody else has been down that road you're going down. And some are going down the road happy, and some are going down the road unhappy. The ones that are happy are the ones that know that he knows what they're going through, even when mankind does not know. There's times, brother and sister, the pastor doesn't know what you're going through. You can try to tell him, and he can't measure it out. He can't meet it out. He can't get a grasp and get a hold on it. But I tell you, the God of heaven knows what you're going through. And he knows what you need even before we ask. So happy are ye. Number one, just knowing that he knows. Not knowing what he knows, but knowing that he knows. Can you trust him even when you can't track him? Can you trust him even when you can't figure out what he's doing, what he's up to? Can you trust him? I tell you, those days come in a church. The church is fixing to celebrate 50 years, amen, here on the hill, preaching the gospel, singing the songs of Zion. And there are days, beloved, when you just don't know what in the world is going on, but you can have peace knowing that he knows what's going on. Amen. Times with your children, you have no idea what's going on. But knowing that he knows will bring a great deal of happiness to your heart. Knowing that the God of heaven not only knows, but he knows the answer in the situation. Amen. The second thing I want to give you tonight, not only knowing that he knows, happy are ye, but going where he goes. He said, preacher, I don't know what you're getting at. Let me help you tonight. Watch this now. The word of God said here, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour was come. He should depart out of this world unto the Father. Beloved, if you'll study your Bible, it looks like only Mary. I believe it was Mary Magdalene. Is that right? I'm a little bit troubled about that, but she's the only one. There's a Mary, the only one that understood and anointed him against the day of his burying. The only one that understood that he was leaving. He was going out of this world. He was fixing to die. Even though he told him over and over. By the way, beloved, we're the same way. He can tell us something over and over and over. The happiness, my friend, comes from knowing that he knows. Secondly, tonight, going where he goes, watch this. He should depart out of the world, having loved his own, which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. Watch this now. And supper being ended. God spoke to my heart. Listen to me carefully tonight. I'm not going to fuss. I'm not going to feud. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God wasn't against going to supper with the believers. He wasn't against it. And by the way, I'm going to show you more scripture in just a minute. You say, preacher, what do you mean going where he goes? He didn't mind, Brother Steve, to get together and eat with his disciples. Now listen, anything can get out of balance. And the Word of God tells us, I believe it's in the book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said some of them were getting drunk. Some of them were going before others. Some of them, my friend, were out of order. There were people going hungry. And he said, have you not houses to eat in? And I believe if it's out of order, you'd be better off not to do it. But right here is Christ gathered in a room, breaking bread with his disciples. And beloved, he's teaching them something while he's doing it. Fellowship. You can get out of balance. Any way you look at it, you can get out of balance. But what God has shown me is, beloved, he's for it. He set the example. He said, happy are ye going where he goes. Beloved, listen. Look what the Bible said over in the book of Acts. Turn there with me just a moment. Acts chapter number 1. Excuse me. I believe it's chapter number 4. Maybe I'll get it in a minute. Let's try chapter number 2. That's it. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And the Word of God. Now watch this now. I want you to see this because I think it's important. Beloved friend, listen. We shouldn't be looking for ways to get out of fellowship with one another. We should be looking for ways to fellowship with one another. I'm talking about fellowship that's clean. I'm not talking about a gossip session. Say amen. I'm not talking about people getting together to say they're saved by the grace of God and getting drunk. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about people getting together and eating at one table while somebody at another table doesn't have anything to eat. That's ungodliness. But beloved, God's people are a fellowshipping people. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Watch this. The Bible said in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, the apostles were teaching them something, and they stuck to it. They stuck to what the apostles were giving them, the doctrine of the Word of God. You've got people in their ignorance that'll say this, doctrine's not important. Beloved, yes, it is. Doctrine is what the Bible teaches. That's what Bible doctrine is. And if it's contrary to the Bible, then it's false doctrine. Watch this now. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Brother Steve, I can't get this out of my heart. And this is what happened in my heart today as I looked at this chapter 13. I just wonder how many times they were sitting around the table in the early church and Peter looks over at John, says, boy, John, you remember? You remember when Jesus, you remember when our Savior met with us that day and we broke bread? You remember when he stood up and he girded himself? You remember when he got that? I just believe, my beloved, listen, it ought to be a memorial of what happened right here in chapter 13. When we get together, happy are ye. In other words, beloved friend, Jesus set the example and they followed it. Watch this now. Watch this. The Bible said here, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All that believed were together, and they had all things common. Watch this. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. He said, preacher, why would they do such a thing? I'll tell you a couple things. Number one, they loved one another. Number two, they believed Jesus was coming any moment. And they just didn't want to be bound down. They were like Brother Brian said about Abraham. They were looking for a city which had foundations. Watch this now. Look at verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. In other words, they were doing everything that they did to the glory of God. The Bible said, whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, do all to the glory of God. What it said. So they're happy. They're happy going where he goes, going to supper. Watch this now. Praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm going to tell you something right now. I appreciate getting to fellowship with God's people. Amen. I do. And listen, fellowshipping around the meal ain't the only fellowshipping that God's people do. But it's right here in the Bible. It is some of the fellowshipping that God's people do. Fellowshipping around a meal. Fellowshipping around the bread. What a blessing. Going where he goes. that fellowship, knowing that He knows. Beloved, that's faith. Knowing that God knows, that's faith. Going here where God gave us an example, the Lord Jesus, that's fellowship. Watch this now. I want to give you this in closing tonight, showing what He shows. You say, preacher, what do you mean? What is He showing in this chapter? Number one, He's showing love. The Word of God said, having loved His own, He loved them. Everybody remember the phrase? Unto the end. You say, preacher, how long is He going to fellowship with us? How long is He going to love us as His children to the end? He said He'd go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. I believe He's going to escort us across the river. I'm not looking for an angel band. The Bible said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. That's the shepherd, amen. The shepherd of the sheep. Beloved, showing what He shows. He shows love. Look at verse 20, 34 and 35. In verse 1, He said, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Look at verse 34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. I'll tell you something tonight. Beloved, Jesus is serious about His commandments. Loving the Lord thy God. He took all the law of Moses and hung them on those two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, your strength. Then He said this, love your neighbor as yourself. And He said, I'll just hang all the rest of it. In other words, if love is right, it'll take care of everything else. Love will take care of your living. Love will take care of your giving. Somebody help me tonight. When we love Jesus the way we ought to love Him, then, beloved, everything else will fall right in place. It'll fall right in place. And Jesus here, we ought to be showing what He showed. Number one, He showed love. Number two, He showed humility. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Watch this. Look at verse number four. He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. And that after that he poured water into a basin, and He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. This past week, I spent some time in an old pair of pull-on shoes in a pond. And when I got out of that pond, I noticed something. My feet were not the same color as they were when I went into that pond. They were caked in mud. And thank God it was the type of mud you could just stick it under the spigot and it rinsed off real good. What I'm trying to tell you is, in this hour, in this day, the conditions and the tradition called for when somebody came into the room, their feet to be washed. Now, God help me tonight. God help me. I have never been in what you call a foot washing service. Number one, I've never been in one. I didn't say I wouldn't be in one, but I have never been in one myself. How many's been in a foot washing service? Many of you have been. I heard Brother Jack on tape preach not too long ago. And I believe he's right. He said, we used to do that. He said, everybody else quit and we quit. That's what he said. That's what he said on the tape. Some of y'all can probably remember him saying that. But I do not believe that it ought to ever be made an ordinance of the church. I believe the ordinance of the church is the Lord's Supper and baptism. But I believe more importantly than anything in the example that Jesus has given us is humility. And that is, Brother Steve, we may be going somewhere on that Saturday to do something that needs to be done. In other words, this is what I get. If we were going to have a foot washing service, everybody would probably make good and sure that down between their toes was cleaned out real good. And they'd make sure they got clean socks, the newest pairs. How many's with me tonight? Amen. In other words, we'd be going through a most. But God wants us to understand Jesus is setting an example. And the happy people are doing that needs to be done for somebody else. I got to thinking about that this afternoon. My son-in-law's not here. so I'll preach about him. What I should have done, Brother Wayne, when he and Charity were staying at our house for about 6 months when they moved back from Chattanooga, what I should have done when he reared back in that recliner on the end of the sofa and had pulled his shoes off, instead of leaving the room, I should have got a basin of water. How many knows what I just said? Honey, it wouldn't have been an option. It was needed. Let me tell you something tonight. Jesus said, happy are ye. We need to show what he shows. I thought about it today. Brother Ralph, there's not a man in this church, there's not anybody that I know, that I would be more than glad if that's what they needed. That's the truth. It wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit. But Jesus, these fellas, it blew their mind. When the Son of God, Brother Preston, stood up, girded himself with a towel, bowed down at their feet, and washed their feet. Of course, you know Peter, he's that one that he has that foot and mouth disease. Amen. And Peter says, well, Lord, you're not going to wash me. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And then Peter said this, well, if you're going to wash my feet, just go ahead and get me good. Get me all over. I think it's my head and my hands. Is that right? It's right there in the Bible. The humility. How many believes God's people need to show humility? I believe that. Now listen to me carefully. There are people out there on the street corner. You listen to me. That could be us standing out there on the street corner. Some of us used to stand on the street corner. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Some of us used to suck on a beer bottle. Some of us used to put things in our body that had no business going in a person's body. Them old boys in jail, Brother Wayne, you know what I'm talking about, brother. I'm telling you. Listen, I'm just telling you, humility doesn't look at them and say, you low down scum of the earth. Humility says, hey, Jesus loves you and he loves me. He helped me and he'll help you. Because he's no respecter of person. Beloved friend, tonight, Jesus set the example for us in this chapter. He shows us how to love. He shows us humility. But then I want to give you this tonight. He's showing mercy. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Just go with me tonight, and I'm about done. I hope this has been a blessing to you tonight. Just knowing that he knows. I don't know. Brother Merv and Sister Emma's son-in-law, I don't know, but I know that he knows. Donnie, Brother David, I don't know, but I know that he knows. God said, happy are ye. We ought to be happy just knowing that he knows, even when we don't know. We ought to be happy just going where he goes. Go to supper. Fellowship with God's people. By the way, I believe the church would be a lot healthier if we fellowship more with one with another and less with that television. You say, I wouldn't say that. I done did. Why would I change it now? It's a truth. It's a truth. By the way, if what's on that television is darkness, you ain't fellowshipping with it anyway, because light can't fellowship with darkness. What the Bible said. So knowing that he knows, going where he goes, showing what he shows. He's showing love. He's showing humility. But he's showing mercy. He said, preacher, I don't understand where you see that. Look at verse 36 with me, please. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, and he said, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Now listen to me. There's another text. I don't know where it is right now, but it's there. I promise you I've read it. Where the Bible said, likewise said all of his disciples. In other words, Peter led the way and said, Lord, I'll go with you all the way, even unto death. But the Bible said, it's there. I can find it. You can find it if you look for it. It's there in the Gospels. Likewise said all his disciples. Every one of them said the same thing. But notice this. Jesus, in verse 38, he answered him and said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? In other words, he's asking it in a rhetorical manner. Really, Peter? Will you lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice or three times. He said, preacher, I don't understand what you're getting out of this happy. Let me tell you something right now. Jesus is going to show mercy on Peter. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, if you read in this same chapter, it was John that leaned on his bosom. It was John that went all the way with him to Calvary. As a matter of fact, when they wanted to know something from Jesus, they said, just whisper and ask John. Ask John. And in the mercy of an almighty God, God did not choose John to stand up in the book of Acts and preach on the day of Pentecost. He chose Peter. Brother Randy, this is just Rick Vannoy theology. It ain't much. But I do believe that God knew there'd be a whole lot more of us in this world like Peter than like John. A whole lot more of us, Brother Gary Joe, that had blown it over and over. He said, preacher, I don't know how this has to do with us being happy. Honey, he has shown mercy to us, and we need to show mercy to others. Blessed are the merciful. That's what the Word of God said. I'm telling you, even among preachers, sometimes you can get among them, and beloved, they're casting judgment. You ever been there, Brother Steve? I want you to look going there. But I'm going to tell you something right now. In the mercy of God, Jesus, after he arose from the dead, he visited with Peter and them boys. He said, children, have you any meat? They're professionals. Fished all night and didn't catch a thing. Casting that on the right side. They get to the shore, and the Lord of glory has already got some fish and some bread prepared for them. I've often said, I don't know what perfect fish is, but they ate it that day. The Son of God did it. You can mark it down, honey. The bread was just right. How many's ever had some just right bread? I mean, melt in your mouth. Amen. Mom used to fix a bread called wheat bread. She'd call it a pone of wheat bread. I don't know where pan got turned into pone, but anyway, or where bag got turned into poke, or where pop got turned into dope. I don't know where all that happened, amen. But some of that bread Mama would fix, I'm telling you, was perfect. It just, you didn't have to chew it. You could just put it in your mouth and enjoy it. It was awesome. Jesus is showing mercy to Peter. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? I never have figured out exactly what the these were. Was he talking about the fish? You know, Peter left his net and he followed Jesus. Was he saying, do you love me more than you love these fish? Or was he saying, you know, Peter, back yonder in that upper room, you was the first one to jump up and say, I'll go with you all the way, I even unto death. Or do you love me more than these other disciples? Really, Peter? Do you love me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Feed my sheep. He was showing mercy. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. I'm going to tell you something right now. Peter was a different man after God showed mercy. Amen, Brother Rose. You and I ought to be a different man after God showed mercy. And we ought to have some mercy to show to somebody else that's in need of mercy. Y'all have been good to my daughter, to Amanda. I tell you, Amanda's a miracle. She's working 7 days a week. She's a miracle. He said, preacher, I wouldn't get my hopes up. You leave me alone. Brother John, I'm going to trust God to keep her on the right path. Thank God for a bunch of people that showed mercy. We need to be here on this hill if Jesus don't come for 50 more years. We need to preach the truth. Yes, we do. We need to take a stand against sin. Yes, we do. But we need to show mercy on those that are guilty, just like God has shown mercy on us. You say, what's that got to do with anything? It's got to do with being happy. If you're going to be happy, you need to know that He knows. You need to go where He goes. And you need to show what He shows. He showed love. He showed humility. He showed mercy. I'm going to quit with this tonight. I don't remember what I prayed the night the Lord saved me. I don't remember. That's not what's important. I'm not real sure that that night when we stood up for the invitation and the struggle was still going on in my heart. I'm not real sure that when I went like this, my pastor came down and he said, Rick, what is it? I said, Pastor, I'm lost. I need to be saved. I'm not real sure God didn't save me right there. I don't know. But I know He saved me that night. I know in the Bible there's a Pharisee and there's a publican. They go down to the temple to pray. And the Word of God said the Pharisee prayed thus. I believe the Word of God said within himself. When you pray thus, you'll always be praying within yourself. It ain't going no further, I can tell you that. He said something like this. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that I fast twice in the week. I pay tithes of all that I possess. I thank you that I'm not as other men are, even as this publican. I may not have got that exactly right, but it's close. But the Word of God said there was a publican, an old tax collector, Brother David. He wouldn't even look up. He smote upon his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Whoa, glory to God tonight. The Bible said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. He asked that thief on the cross. The one that looked over and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus do? He showed mercy. He looked back and said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Boy, don't you know that had to be a blessed relief in that old boy's heart. To know things was fixing. Let me tell you something, children of God. Things is fixing to get better. That woman, they come dragging her in. I don't know if how the Bible says how many. Does it say how many, Brother Steve, those men were there that came dragging? I don't think it does. There's a bunch of men come dragging this woman in. They throw her down in front of Jesus. Said this woman's taken in adultery in the very act. Moses and the law command us that we stone her. What sayest thou? The Word of God said that Jesus stooped down. Oh, I love Brother Mays. I think it was Brother Mays years ago who said maybe he was writing the telephone numbers of all their girlfriends. We don't know what Jesus was writing on the ground. But I know whatever it was, it spelled mercy to one lady. One by one, he said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. And you know what they did? They dropped their rocks. And you know what God's people need to do? We need to drop the rocks. If you want to be happy, show mercy. Show humility. Show love. Jesus said, "Where are thine accusers?" She looked around. Brother Gary said, "I have none, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Jesus wasn't condoning adultery. Jesus was forgiving an adulterer. There's a difference. Jesus doesn't condone drunkenness, but he'll forgive a drunkard. He doesn't condone lying, but he'll forgive a liar. Beloved, listen. The Bible said if a man is guilty of one point of the law, he's guilty of all. It takes the Spirit of the living God to make sin become exceeding sinful. Because I can sit in my seat and I can say, "Well, I'm not too bad. I'm a pretty good person," till the Spirit of God shows up. And when the Spirit of God shows up, he throws the book at you. And beloved, there's no doubt when the Spirit of God shows up, you're wrong. He's right. And you're in trouble. And you need help. And he's going to point you to the one. His name is Jesus. That can help you. Happy are ye. Are you happy tonight? Happy are ye. Knowing that he knows. Going where he goes. Showing what he shows. Never in my life had I put chapter 13 in John together with chapter 2 in the book of Acts. Until the Spirit of God showed me. Brother Dan, I thought about Young at Heart. I did. We get together and just have a devotion and have prayer. And what we have, some people would say it's not a meal fit for a king. But I tell you, it's a meal fit for the king's children, ain't it, Brother Dan? And we just get together a little while. And I'll just say this, there's more people than us 50 years old and above. Amen. What are you grinning about, Brother Steve? You know she's that old. Amen. Maybe she's not. You might have robbed a cradle. Amen. Amen. God wants you to be happy. Amen. You say, "Preacher, life is full of burdens." Let me ask you something. You reckon Jesus was burdened in chapter 13? You reckon he was? You reckon he knew what he was facing? You reckon he knows the garden is right around the corner where his sweat is going to become as great drops of blood? Where he's going to cry, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." Just knowing that he knows. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Father, Brother Ralph, I feel compelled to get a song tonight. If y'all come, get a song tonight. Father, thank you tonight for this man called Jesus that was willing to stand up and give us such an example. Gird himself with the towel, take the basin, wash the disciples' feet. He said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Dear Father, thank you, Lord. Your people are happy people. God, tonight we need to check up. If we're not happy tonight, we need to check up and see what's going on. Can we trust you? Lord, even when we can't track you, even when we don't know what you're doing, can we say, "God, we love you. We know you know what's best." Father, tonight, I pray you'd speak to hearts in this invitation. I pray, God, tonight, you'd help someone. I pray you'd help the saints of God tonight, Lord. I pray you'd help that individual tonight, Lord, that's still living under that guilt, still living under that shame. Help them, Lord, like that thief, to look at Jesus tonight and say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. To be like that publican tonight, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, tonight, have your way. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that's burdened down and they're not happy. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that though they came in burdened, they'd leave with a peace that passes all understanding, happy in Jesus.